I am Platt on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. I've been a big fan of Natalie de los Santos for a while now. She's an internet influencer in the best sense of the word. She uses her popular Instagram account, Philippine X Pages, to showcase books and authors of Philippine heritage. As I mentioned in the interview, I've bought many books because of her posts, and I enjoy it a great deal. But Natalie, who joins me now, is more than her Instagram handle. Among the many things she does in the community, she is part of the organizing team for the Filipino-Canadian Book Festival, which is taking place the 12th to the 14th of July. As I'll be on hiatus from the podcast, I'm happy to talk to Natalie about the impetus for this important event, the planning involved, and what we'll expect that weekend in July. It's early days, and even though we taped this interview last week, there are already a number of events planned, and Natalie will tell us about those shortly. The events will take place at the Joyce Collingwood Neighborhood House and Massey Art Society. It'll be a great chance to celebrate and amplify the voices of Filipino-Canadian authors, artists, and creators. Visit their website at philcanbookfest.squarespace.com for more information. Between now and July 12th, they'll be updating it with information. Natalie de los Santos is a writer and creative based here in Vancouver. She's also the creator of the podcast Filipino Fairy Tales, Mythology, and Folklore, and the author of Hasta Mañana, Alice's Order, and is working on a Filipino folklore-inspired fantasy novel called Diosa Mata. Visit her own website at natdls.com for more. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Natalie de los Santos. Ms. de los Santos, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. This idea of a Filipino-Canadian Book Festival is such a good idea, and one's obviously surprised that it hasn't happened sooner. You're one of the lead people starting this initiative. Who else are you working with?
So I'm working with two collaborators as event organizers. Our two organizers are Danny and Maria, and Danny is the manager at Massey Books, mm-hmm. and Maria is basically behind Sampaguita Press. She's a chief editor, and just like she's very active in the poetry community in the States. And we are also partnered up with Massey Books and Massey Arts, and Sampaguita Press is one of our event partners as well.
Speaking about Sampaguita Press, they're doing a number of great books, and they have done a number of great books over the years, haven't they?
Yeah, like I feel like why I felt so aligned with them being a partner is that they are IBPOC run and like a Filipino run press as well. And yeah. I really feel like they're unique in that sense where, you know, when they publish books, they have that community mindset. They know how to market to the Filipino audience, and they've released so many great poetry books. My favorite book is Sana by Maria, who is one of the organizers. It's about modern poems that incorporate Filipino folklore, and there's a lot of acts of reclamation in it. And just all the books that have come out from Sampaguita Press is so resonant to our community. And I'm really excited to have them come up to Canada. And, you know, like, because they're a press, they, like, if authors introduce themselves to Maria, they may, like, that's a pathway to possibly being published through their press.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also very important. That's why festivals in general are quite important, aren't they? They're a way for not just readers to meet writers, but for writers to meet publishers.
Yeah, and there'll be quite a few publishers, I think, that will be in attendance at our festival, too. So that's, you know, just kind of bridges that gap, because half of the battle is trying to introduce yourself to people in the industry.
Yeah, indeed. You mentioned Massey, so a number of the events will be at the Massey Art Society in Chinatown, is that right?
So it's split between the two. So basically we have the majority of what will happen will actually happen at Joyce Collingwood Neighborhood House. Uh-huh. They have graciously just signed on as a partner. Like, this is fairly new. So, like, it's actually fantastic. They've been very accommodating. So we have space at the Annex for the Friday and the Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And then the Sunday, which is the 14th, we'll most likely have all our programming at Massey and virtually to make it inclusive to people across Canada.
Yeah, that's important, isn't it? And one of the great things to emerge after because of the pandemic is that events like this one here in Vancouver will be accessible for people online all over, I guess, right? Not just in Canada?
I feel like the virtual component will, that's the part that it can be shared with people who are outside of Canada itself. Because, for instance, Sampaguita Press is a U.S.-based press, and mm-hmm. I believe that they want to, also invite members of their community to participate as well.
Yeah. It's such a good idea for a festival, and as I said a moment ago, just necessary and long overdue. When you were having discussions about why this event was a good idea and in terms of planning it, what were some of the things that you were hearing and talking about as to why it should happen now? I mean, it just seems like a great moment, doesn't it, to have a showcase of Filipino-Canadian writers?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so this one is kind of like an interesting story, is that, I have to give credit to my collaborator, Maria, for really believing in this idea, but I'll start kind of even with my own work first. Uh-huh. So as I was running Filipinx pages, I mostly am a social media presence, so I post a book a day that features a Filipino author, and I've gotten such a good response, because during the pandemic, that's, people... they had all the free time, so they had all the time to read. So I felt like, reaching out to the community and sharing resources and kind of just talking in private messages, it felt like a giant book club. But I had this question to myself, maybe in year two, year three, running the page, being like, I market mostly on Instagram. How do I reach the digitally excluded? Because not everyone is on Instagram, not everyone's on TikTok. How do we make this more visible to, academia, to people who aren't online, and just make it that it's just part of the community and kind of like it has that in-person touch point. And at that point, I didn't think of a festival quite yet. So I would fast forward to last year. I went to the Leelanag Book Festival in Long Beach, and that is run by Joanna from Bell Canada Books. I went and I was just blown away by it. Because the format of the festival is, the outside is, a little market, and people were dancing and stuff, so even if you didn't go inside, you could just have a fun day with your family. Mm-hmm. And when you go inside, because it was up in the Michelle Obama Neighborhood Library, you could either go to the kids section where they were having story time. There's a little sorry store where the kids could play. And then the other side of the library, you could attend different panels that were cycling through genres. And I met my friend Maria at one of the panels because she was reading from her book, Sana. And, me and her had been chatting all this time because, I just love Sampaguita Press. They've published me in the past. And as the co-founder, I just really wanted to meet her. And we actually hung out all day. And we were at a Carl's Jr. parking lot at the end of the day after the festival. And I told her, we really need something like this in Canada because, we have, these standalone events for authors, but nothing super, concentrated or mm-hmm. put together. It's kind of like we're scheduled into, things like Literation or the Writers' Fest, but we're, it's not focused on our community. It's just we're just kind of scheduled in and part of it, which isn't a bad thing. But so from that... I think I had a little bit of imposter syndrome at first. I was maybe we can do this in the future, and kind of was just seeing it as a future facing thing. But Maria, and she did credit me on this one, but she went, she approached Massey and Danny, and Danny is one of my friends, so so the connection was amazing here. But she approached Massey and Danny and said, "Hey, look, we should really do this, because it seems like there's a need in Canada for this, because you don't have a book festival like Leelanag." And Danny was just all right, let's do it. And so she approached Patricia Massey, who again was, she realized that there was no festival like this. We did our research and she realized that there was a great need for it because, there are other festivals that have an eye on cultural groups, but just not the Filipino community. So she saw potential in just supporting the community in this. And she helped us write our grant for BC Arts Council, which was awarded to us, and this is why we're even able to do it, is through Patricia's like belief and also just helping us getting funding as well.
Yeah, it's a great story about how a great idea comes together and just how people in the community can come together and put something like this on, which makes I'm sure the idea of the event for people listening to us just incredibly exciting. So we're talking in mid-May, so it's very early days yet in the programming of this event. Have you got any idea about what sort of authors or who might even be appearing, say?
Yeah, so I can actually share. We have a keynote who's coming in, and that keynote is Catherine Hernandez. Mm. And we're actually going to be presenting Catherine like an award for her work in our community. Just to give context here, Catherine Hernandez is an award-winning author and screenwriter, and she's celebrated for her diverse storytelling across multiple media. Like, she has her debut novel, Scarborough, was turned into a film.
Yeah.
And it won numerous awards, like the Toronto Book Awards and the Trillium Book Award. And I mean, I could list off all her like awards. Like, she's done a lot for our community, and we are going to present an award. It's kind of a funny named award because we named it. It's called the Candela Award. So at first we wanted to name it something that represented like a soul of fire. So candela, like candle, but how we spelled it, and this is Maria because she's a poet, it's like spelled capital C-A-N and then capital D-I-L-A. So it's kind of a pun where it's like Canadian tongue, so candela.
it works, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we're going to be presenting this award to our keynote speaker. And the cool part about this, at least how we're envisioning it now, is while we will invite as many people who want to come, we're envisioning it as more of an intimate space with Catherine Hernandez for our community, because often when she comes to town, her events like sell out and pack out, and we're hoping that with this Filipino focus, we're actually giving space that our community can have like a little bit more intimate conversation with her. Because after the keynote speech, we're just hoping to do a little bit of like a industry mixer, whether that's, because we're still planning, whether that's just, you know, having a cocktail hour, maybe having like a table of food where we can sit and chat with Catherine. That's part of what we're envisioning currently in the moment.
And so by the time people listen to this, it'll be the end of May. That'll still give people listening some time to, if they have an idea or if they want to sponsor or support this event, they can email you through your website, right?
Yep. Yeah, we're always looking for donations and sponsorship. There's a page for sponsorship, and we do have a call to action if someone just wants to make a more straightforward donation as well. We are looking for someone who wants to sponsor the keynote speech. I believe that's a tier of sponsorship. But in terms of the other things that are going on, we're looking at doing panels and workshops. Uh-huh. We're hoping to, we actually just finished our call out on May 13th, and so we're just, you know, like we've actually confirmed most of our authors, and we're now plugging them into our schedule. So for instance, like I can give some concrete ones. Like various panels will focus on different things like poetry, nonfiction, fiction. There will be a zine making workshop. We're hoping to do that as sort of like counterculture revolution kind of themes in that zine workshop. And the other workshops will be facilitated by community members. Like, for instance, I'm still confirming this one, but I'm hoping to do even say like a playwrights panel, because that is one thing that I think is excluded from other festivals, and it requires a lot of writing and publishing also. And we have some amazing Filipino playwrights in Vancouver. So the workshops are kind of like community run in that sense, where we will work with groups of people who want to put on something that has a literary kind of focus. We're hoping to do an open mic as well, just so anyone can come to the mic, even if they're not published, and kind of express their writing practice. And we're hoping to have like some writing workshops too, for just to bridge that gap between emergent writers and established writers who will be at the festival. And then we're hoping to have a marketplace just like Leona had, where outside our venue we'll have like vendors set up and performances with people would like. We're kind of, that is something we're doing outreach on now and hoping to set up a little market. Like, I don't know if you've been at the Annex, but there's a little patio. We're hoping to set up a little place where people can hang out if they don't want to watch a panel. In terms of, like, confirmed authors, I mean, the majority of them are, like, locally based, like, in Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
We are still determining some of the authors for virtual setup, too. So, we'll, I mean, I know this will be published later, but, like, we will be, like, you know, scheduling posts that basically showcase each and every author that are that's in our festival just coming up in the next couple of weeks.
And people can follow the what's happening, philcanbookfest.squarespace.com, right?
Yeah, we will have our, we'll do all, most of our announcements on social, but that website will eventually have like a schedule and who's participating.
Yeah. You mentioned the marketplace, and one of the things that I like about what you do on Instagram, Philippinix Pages, is you showcase a lot of books. You also make me go out and buy books regularly, which is not a bad thing. But you know, it does add up, and you know, I'm running out of space as we speak. I've always wondered: do you own all those books that you talk about?
No, you know, this is a funny question. That's like the number one. If there's a FAQ on my site, is actually, I always look at my page as a long to be read list because I like, and this might be helpful like when I talk later how my page started, but like basically I get recommendations from like my friends, my colleagues, even like people who are publishing, and then I kind of just prospect it, and then some of them, like there is a percentage of them I do read, but there's no humanly way I think I could read all the things that are on there. But it's through recommendations that I post things on my page. And, like, I'm kind of actually surprisingly a slow reader. So whenever someone asks me to do, like, a review on something, I will actually take a little bit of time. And that's just because I want to read it and really, like, be able to nerd out with someone about its content. So a lot of the content you see, how I, like, where the copy comes from, it's never really a review of the book. It's just more informational. And I think that's why people like it, because it's just like, hey, like, did you know this book exists? And then usually I kind of just rewrite the synopsis of the book. Sometimes the synopsis is so good, I just keep it and just paste it on there. But, yeah, usually I don't, like, I don't, I would say, yeah, I, if I'm being truthful, I think I've read, like, maybe, like, 20% of what on there, because this is just a sheer amount. I think I have like over like 2,000 posts. I can't remember, but I have at least read 20% of those 2,000 posts that I post.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I look at regularly, and very rarely I'll already have the book, and then it'll remind me that I should go and read it. But it is
the same.
it's really a to buy list for me, and I'm almost astonished. Week in and week out of things that you know, I hadn't heard of, things that I have heard of that I never really thought of reading that I should think about. And then, you know, I'm doing the thing where I'm going online and looking for it. Because unfortunately, a lot of these authors, a lot of these books are hard to get, aren't they? Especially the older ones, right?
Yeah, like there's some where even when someone recommends it to me, I'll go online and there's no information on it, and I have to do a little bit of a deep dig. And like, there are some books you can only get like through, I guess, like Amazon or just random booksellers, because they're not available to like even order at your local bookshop.
Yeah.
And it, you know what, that even makes me think of like how difficult distribution is, especially for if the books are coming like from the Philippines, is that like distance, and really a publisher like isn't going, like if they don't have an established base in North America, it's kind of locked there. And so I do feel like there's a whole universe of books that exist in the Philippines that I haven't even touched because it's just not available in Canada. And same thing with just things that are like out of print books. Like for instance, Lorena Mappa. I really, really love her graphic novel, Duran Duran, Imelda Marcos and Me,
right.
And, but that's out of print. Like, I've been trying to, like, reorder this book because I actually have a copy. I sent it out to a friend, though, just because I thought he'd really like it, and I'm just like, oh, maybe I'll grab another copy, but I realized there isn't another print run for that book, which makes me sad because there's all these questions I have doing the work that I have, being like, how do I get this book? Like, and why is it out of print, and why can't I get it for sure?
So that Instagram account, I mean, it's incredibly useful and absolutely a marvelously curated group of books. How did you start that, and how long ago was that?
Well, I started it in 2020 during the pandemic. Uh-huh. Actually, I do feel like there was a couple of attempts before this book page started. Like, I had helped other groups who are, like, most of them are now not, like, in existence, but, like, me and some old collaborators were coming together. We were wanting to build a social media presence, so they leaned on my expertise. And from those different groups, they recommended books to me, and so I started to build my list then, and simply because I was also researching for my own writing at the time. And so I was just organically asking, like, oh, I'm writing a Filipino fantasy novel right now, working I find some pre-colonial books. And so a lot of the TBR that I was building then was based on my research. But through the first two groups, I collected some list of books, although our social media presence was very tiny. Like, I think at most, some of our pages were, like, they had, like, 60 followers or something. It was a very grassroots attempt. But come the pandemic, when we're all, like, locked in 2020, I guess the world shut down. So I was like, hey, I have this long list now from, you know, doing my own writing research and from those groups that I was in, and I have time to read. So I started to post, I think it was, like, right when lockdown happened, so March, April 2020. And from that point, I think there was so much ramp up because people were at home and they were online always. And because, you know, like, I think a lot of people had this moment where they wanted more out of their lives and they had more time to reflect. And so I think that's why there was such a resonance with my page, because people were just getting information. And again, I feel like there was a lot going on, like with anti-Asian hate and just very politically charged spaces. So to come into my Instagram, which was informational, probably felt peaceful. Especially in that time. I think that's why it resonated in the moment and why it just took off, and I grew, like, a pretty good following on that page.
And the other thing that astonishes me is I scrolled through it this morning, the number of children's books, and when you were growing up, and I'm older than you, the number of children's books when I was growing up, I mean, were practically non-existent. And, I mean, that's when you really should hit kids, right? I mean, I can only imagine what a benefit it would have been had there been children's books that reflected people like me when I was growing up. I'm sure you agree, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, growing up, I definitely did not have most of the books that I promote on my page and at this festival. I'm just in awe. Like, I feel like we're in this, like, cultural renaissance of books, actually, because I one thing that I've observed doing my research is there's a lot of books being published in the States, especially. Yeah. I mean, like, California is a huge demographic of Filipinos.
Sure.
So there's just a sheer size thing. And I feel like Canada is a little bit lower in that regard of, like, publishing all these books, because if you look at all the children's books that have been published, the majority of them come from the States, which isn't a bad thing. That's just more of a, like, you know, in terms of, like, authors trying to get published, I've just noticed that there's a little bit more opportunity in the States. And I think if you can find that opportunity, kids definitely need, like, books like these. I'm like, so I read a lot to my nephew Winston.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I realize, I'm like, no one did this with me when I was a kid. Like, for instance, there's this book called Tuxbull, and, like, it's a book of, like, just, like, puns and things in that, like, in in this language, and like basically he runs around the house saying like takpo, and I'm like, I didn't have that as a kid. Like, I barely knew any Tagalog, or my mom speaks a Visayan, like, and I'm like, I just, like, it was not encouraged growing up to even, you know, have that language proficiency, because the focus was on English, and, like, I didn't see anyone who was Filipino in media, and if they were, maybe they were in, like, a healthcare profession or something like that. Like, it wasn't, like, as diverse now, where we have so many books that represent different things, like whether it's like the immigration story or joy or romance, like or children's, it's all there now, which is actually really encouraging. And this is really why I want this book festival, because I'm like, so many of these books exist now, and we're more than healthcare practitioners in mainstream media. Like, we have books that cover so many different experiences of our cultural groups.
Yeah, you're obviously someone who's interested in writes folklore. You know, there's just so many genres now that of Filipino writers. I mean, I'm thinking back to posts that you've made on your Instagram, where really you can read anything you want and by someone who's Filipino today, and I think that's a great thing. And it's not, as you said, not nearly enough, but it's a start, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I remember reading this stat. It's from, like, a New York Times study by Richard So, who looked at a bunch of, like, aggregate data. And, like, what him and his collaborators found is that from 1950 to 2018, only 5% of fiction books written in the English language were written by people of color. Mm. And so they wanted to investigate this further, because when Black Lives Matter happened, you saw a boom of diverse books being published, but it led to other questions like, you know, like, even though the veneer of marketing looks nice from the publishers, it's like, how much are these people of color getting paid in terms of royalties and advances compared to their white counterparts? And the hashtag publishing paid me showed that there was still a huge disparity between those advances and royalties as well. And, like, even though, you know, it's one thing to, like, put a book into production for 2 years, but to market it can be challenging for publishers who don't understand our community and might not, like, know how to outreach to them besides traditional means, like, just through, like, reviews and trade reviews from, like, a higher, like, institutional level. But, you know, one thing that I find interesting as being Filipino page is, and I'm not going to name who, but I do get a lot of requests from different publishers and marketeers being like, can you help us promote this book? And, you know, when I get to the why factor, when they inquire, is I realize that these publishers are either small or they just don't understand our cultural group, which is, you know, it shows a lot that, like, it's like, I'm very flattered, because it shows that the work that I'm doing is important, but I'm like, but I do think there's a level of responsibility a publisher must take in order to understand the market if they acquire a book that is showcasing a certain community. I could talk about this all day, but I do think that this is also why the book festival is important alongside a page like mine, is that we're increasing that visibility, and people can see, like, that there's a whole, like, spectrum of books, and there's a whole spectrum of different experiences, and hopefully we can just change that perception of, like, oh, we don't understand how to market this book, where do we go?
You mentioned in an email that there's a similar event in Toronto, is that right?
So, yes. There's another event called, they used to be called Pluma, but now they've rebranded to Salese, and they are actually having a book festival on May 25th, and it's at the, and this is where I don't actually know, it's at the Barbara from Public Library
in Toronto.
And so we've actually been in communication with them because we want to actually promote each other's festivals, and basically, like, with our virtual programming, we're hoping to highlight their festival to possibly invite invite Salese or just any readers they feel deem like they want to represent them. That's still in talks right now, but we're hoping to kind of bridge that gap, because basically we're like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if there was a Filipino book festival in every province. Yeah. And so we have this, I think, you know, at first we're like, you know, West Coast, East Coast, like we're on our two opposite ends. But I think from the work that we're doing, at some point in the future, we can like tie it all province to province to province for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to ask you about your own writing practice and what inspired you to get into writing. You know, your beautiful short story, Over the Rainbow, there's a line in there that I always think about probably about once a week. If the blanket is I'm trying to remember now. If the blanket is short, learn how to bend yourself.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, it's just a great line because, you know, these are things that we all experience, you know, in the middle of the night or just before bed. And it's a wonderful way to look at life itself about how to adapt and so forth. Where did that line come from, by the way? Was that something that you'd heard from, say, family members? Or?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to actually write that word in Visayan, but uh-huh. I couldn't find that translation because I had heard it spoken in the Visayan, but didn't understand it. And then I can't remember which family member translated it for me, but they were like, this is what that means.
Yeah.
And so I actually haven't found the translation into its original words, but it just always stuck with me that was what, like a proverb that they had over there to kind of deal with adversity.
Yeah.
Super cool. It's like apparently a Filipino saying. So I'm like, if I ever do find the actual translation, that is, I just didn't want to, like, just because I'm not familiar with the language, just like mistranslated.
Sure.
I'm still currently searching for its original saying.
What was it like and not just to write this, but to share this piece with family members? Because I've read elsewhere the inspiration that the story is derived from. What did your parents, for example, what did they think of the short story Over the Rainbow?
Well, I feel like, okay, so I feel like this piece was a piece of like maturation for me because I had a piece prior to that to Over the Rainbow called Beyond the Sea, and it focuses on my dad's story. Like, basically, when he was a child, he came to New York with his family, just on a vacation, actually.
Yeah.
Because they loved America. They're like, we need to go. And he actually came during the time of segregation. So while they were there and having fun, he just, like, didn't know which bathrooms to use. Like, so he used the black or white one. And so there was, like, some questions he had as a child. And then he actually returned later as an exchange student. So that was, like, the very first story I had ever written, sort of about my parents' immigration past. And at first, like, my dad had actually just shared the story with me, and I remember at that time, it's like, he was actually kind of a little bit shy. Like, it's not that I, like, didn't ask consent from him, because me and him had actually worked on it together, and I was sort of chatting with him,
mm-hmm.
but he was just kind of like, oh my God, this is going on in the world. I'm like, you know, like, it's all good if you don't want to, and he's like, no, like, go ahead. So, like, there was some kind of hesitation on his part, but when it came to my mom's story, I think, which is Over the Rainbow, I think that process worked a little bit differently because I had worked with her closely, like, when I was, like, gaining, like, the, like, or sorry, as I was collecting information, I was sitting next to her writing it down, so she knew where I was taking this and how I was writing it. And the part that she, when me and her were talking, I did let her know that I'm writing it more as literary fiction, because, for instance, it comes from her perspective. It comes from the perspective of a child writing their parents' story, so I can never truly write how they actually felt in the moment, or maybe the full scope of how they, only they could tell that story. So my mom seemed like okay with that because I had, you know, changed names, and not everything that happens in that story happens in the order that she's told me. Like, there are times where I've just had to world build and write things into the story, so it is more of a literary fiction than it is, like, say, a memoir or nonfiction. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I had actually finished writing my draft and was about to submit it to the book, Meg Darragat, I asked my mom, hey, can you read this before I submit it? Like, even before I had put it into, consideration. And my mom was actually pretty honored. She said this very, like, Filipino mom thing, like, oh, yeah, your cousins heard a story for their parents, too. And I laughed. And so she read it. Yeah. I was really nervous that she wouldn't, like, accept it. And so I submitted it. And then, like, I'm currently working on another historical, like, fiction piece based on my dad, his immigration path moving from the States into Canada after JFK's assassination, because, like, that was an impactful event for him. And actually, he's really excited because, like, because he saw my mom's story in the book, he's like, can I be in a book, too? he's fully turned around. Like, he's fully turned around on that one. Because he was so nervous at first. And this is what I would just tell all writers. I'm like, your two parents, they're going to have two different responses. One will be shy. The other one will be, like, cool.
Yeah, yeah. It is a beautiful story, and people can get the collection to read that. The other thing, talking about the marketplace for this festival in July, will your dad's cookbook be available there?
You know what? You just put that idea in my head. Yes, I will bring copies of it.
Yeah, because I've been hearing about it on, reading about it on Gastrofork, your sister's website. For years now, and I realize that's a book that I don't have, and so I'm looking forward to buying it there then, in July.
Thanks for the reminder. I'm like, I should put that into our book list, because we are, Messi is beginning to order all the books that we're going to have at the festival, so.
Yeah, and that's a great thing. I go to Massey from time to time, because I do my grocery shopping on that street, and there is a section there, isn't there, of Filipino books, right?
Yeah, there's, I think for Filipinos, Canadian Heritage Month last year, their whole window was just taken over, and Dani, she's really, really good at setting up, like, a whole section for that, because she, obviously, being part of our community, too, it matters a lot, and she tells me that the most joyous thing for her is when Massey's filled with, like, Filipino patrons, and they're all getting excited over the books they find. She's like, that's the best feeling in the world for her, so.
Yeah. I'll bet. Natalie, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. You're doing such important work, and I wish you well for the events in July. I so appreciate your time today. It's been a great meeting, finally, and talking about this work that you do.
Yeah, thank you so much for interviewing me.
The Instagram handle is at PilipinexPages. The website for the Filipino-Canadian Book Festival, which is the 12th to the 14th of July, is at philcanbookfest.squarespace.com. And, of course, Natalie's own website, natdls.com. Natalie De Los Santos joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.